guess is as good as mine. Think we're on there? Okay, great. Romans chapter 5. We are picking up today in verse 12. However, since verse 12 starts out with wherefore, we're going to start in verse 1. Also, since J.C. O'Hare says that anytime you're working with somebody who is a new believer, first get saved, have them read Romans 5, 1 through 11, 100 times over. That's what J.C. O'Hare said. Good enough for J.C. O'Hare, it's good enough for me. So, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, of course, if you start there, I guess you know.
You go back to Romans 4.
So, Romans 1, 1. No, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And of course, we've been studying that, I think the last three studies, I've been going through, breaking down Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. There's just some great, great concepts there, but the first time we see the Holy Ghost given to us, seeing that we now are justified by his blood, first time you see that in the Bible. We have now received the atonement, verse 11, first time you've seen that. All other times in the Bible, those are future tenses. I hear or see a hand or a finger in the back.
The saved from wrath was also...
First time saved from wrath also in here, that we shall be saved from wrath. Peter never taught anybody they'd be saved from wrath. Matter of fact, Peter taught everybody, was preparing everybody on how to get through the wrath, because they were not saved from the wrath like we are. We will be, when I say from wrath, the 7-year period of great tribulation, the wrath of God being dispensed on earth. And we will be taken out of here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the calling out of the body of Christ, the rapture of the church, which is his body. That's how we're saved from the wrath to come. And we studied that even last study or two studies ago. John the Baptist even told the people, who has, as he was getting ready to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said to the people there, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Okay, they were all looking for that wrath to come. So great point. Lots of first thingers in there. First thingers. The law of first thingers. The law of first mentions.
Is atonement another one?
Atonement definitely was. Exactly. Verse 9, now justified, not shall be justified, but now justified. Verse 11, now receive the atonement. So again, all of these things, first time mentions. And the other, when you're studying those, verse 6 and verse 8, and that's who Christ died for. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. So people don't need to keep trying to get good enough. What they need to do is realize who they are and what they are in Christ Jesus. That's the difference. All right. Never too young to hear the word preached, right? Love it. And that is the difference. I mean, you have so many people this morning, I say this morning being a Sunday morning, that'll be somewhere studying, trying to get good enough. No, realize that we are, as verse says, He died for the ungodly. Verse 8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is what it is, as Popeye says. We just need to recognize that and receive the free gift, as we're going to learn about here in verses 12 through 21. Okay, so verse 12. Wherefore, based on verses 1 to 11.
What chapter?
Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We just stopped right there, verse 12. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and of course that one man is Adam. And that would be back here in Genesis chapter 3. The old passage there of, you know, the fruit of the tree. Eve taking a bite, giving the fruit to her husband who was standing there with her also, and he took a bite also. And, you know, so sin entered into the world right then and there by that act of disobedience. And because of that, all have sinned. Even at that age, what, 4 or 5 months ago now? When he was born into this world, he was born a sinner because he had that man's blood in him. It's his fault. He's got that man's blood in him. Okay, the baby has the blood of their father. Well, you trace that all the way back to Adam. We all have the blood of Adam in us, male or female, and therefore all are guilty of sin. Not because of that man, but because of this man right here in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all guilty of sin. Tough to be talking about this, and the smile when that little four, how many months now?
It's about 4.5.
4.5 months. So I'm saying 4 or 5 is about right.
That's 16.5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I don't do that.
Okay, but he's just smiling for the camera, and he's just grinning away. Oh, man. The days are long, but the years are short. And how true that is. Okay, state of the scripture here. It's tough, though. Because that is what it's all about right there. Of course, that's what it's all about, and this is what it's all about, too. Put the two together, and so life is, right? That'll preach. Notice verse 13 begins parentheses. And those parentheses will continue clear to the end of verse 17. All right, so first, before we do the parentheses, let's just read 12 and then go right to 18. Okay, so wherefore, verse 12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one, upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, even at 4.5 months old, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so you can see just going right from verse 12 to 18, the majority of this text will be about today. As by sin entered into the world by the actions of one man, Adam, back here in Genesis chapter 3, So all have been guilty of sin ever since. But even as that happened by one man, Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the earthly man that came to earth, by him coming, living a righteous life, taking our place on the cross at Calvary, get the old red pen out here, hanging on that cross, Gospel of Christ, while he was on that cross, he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. He died, went to hell for 3 days, paid the penalty for us that we deserve. And on the third day, God the Father raised him for our justification. Again, the three key words, he died for our sins. According to the Scriptures, was buried, raised again for our justification. And because of that, we can have eternal life if we'll simply receive this. Okay, now, back to the parentheses beginning in verse 13. Parentheses. For, until the law, sin was in the world. For until the law, sin was in the world. But, sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Let's actually stop here for a minute. We're going to see a couple of, just going to put out here. So we have we had Adam, and then out here, Moses, and specifically that'll be Exodus chapter 20, where the law is given. Okay, because he says here in verse 13, for until the law, yeah, that's Exodus 20. Until Moses gives the law in Exodus 20, or until Moses is given the law in Exodus 20. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. So until then, it was not imputed unto them. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Whoa. From Adam to Moses, death reigned. Because we were guilty of the sin of Adam. Okay? We're guilty by the sin that Adam committed. And even though the law is not given until out here. Now, the law goes from here. So if we make a dotted line down here, this is the beginning of the law. And that's going to continue clear out here to the cross. No, it's going to come clear out here to Acts chapter 9. Because that'll be the first time that somebody is saved by grace without the deeds of the law. Of course, that man is Saul at that time, the first one saved unto the body of Christ. Of course, the dispensation of the grace of God begins at Acts 28. At the end of the book of Acts, but the first one saved by grace without the deeds of the law is Saul, the gospel of Christ. First one saved by the gospel of Christ is Saul in Acts 9. So until this time, it's law. Then we have grace. And of course, right here, they'll be back under the law. They'll have to endure to the end. Okay, law, grace, law. But we have a little time period here from Genesis chapter 3. So what's going on here? And what we can... Tell you what, let's come back to that in just a minute. So 13 and 14 again of Romans 5. Wow, he is one happy young man.
He's a little man.
No babies in this house. No, he's still a baby. sorry, we're reliving stuff here.
Yeah,
okay, Steve's reliving stuff here. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Those that had not sinned? What are we talking about? Okay, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. What was Adam's transgression here?
He said,
eating of the fruit, right? Eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That sin. So these people in here didn't commit that sin, but they're guilty of sin because Adam's blood is in them. So if nothing else, they're guilty of that. Because the law is not yet imputed unto these people.
I don't get what it says, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude. So
because death reigned over them. Why did they die? In other words, why did death reign over them? Okay, verse 14. Nevertheless, what is that? Nevertheless, even though the sentence before that, sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, you know, in spite of that, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Wow. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression.
Okay, so referring to the act of Adam's.
The act of Adam's sin, okay? Even though they didn't commit, because that's really the only sin that we can put in here, because death, as it says in verse 14, sin is not imputed. In verse 13, sin is not imputed where there is no law. The law isn't established till Exodus 20. By the way, who have we skipped in here? Going, if we just go from Adam to Moses.
Noah.
We skipped Noah. Who else have we skipped? A
bunch of people.
But how about big names in the Jewish faith?
David.
Abraham.
How about a guy named Abraham? Kind of a key person in the, you know, where's the Jewish nation established? Right? Well, where is the Jew established? Where is the circumcision established? Here. The Jewish nation is established, you know, once they get to the promised land and those 12 tribes go in and establish the 12 areas, the 12 tribes of Israel, the nation Israel is established then. Okay? But what's going on here is a thing called promise. All right, and let's take a look. Come out to Galatians chapter
3 or 4.
Come out to Galatians either 3 or 4. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, let's actually start in verse 16. Okay, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant, which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Okay, a lot of it in there, really. So God made a promise to Abraham, right? And it was through his seed. And remember back, go back to Genesis 3 at that first transgression, at that first sin. In Genesis 3. All right, so after the sin is committed, now it's God talking to, I'll say, Satan in that serpent. He's talking to the serpent, and Satan's in that serpent. And he's talking to the woman, okay? So I'll start in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, in verse 14, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, so from right there, thy seed shall bruise thy head. Okay, the seed of the woman carrying through the seed of the woman. And this will come from Abraham through his seed until we get to Christ. Okay, and that is a promise made to Abraham, is that the Savior will come through his lineage. Of course, that is what this whole Old Testament's all about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's all about the Jew, right? Everything up until Romans to Philemon is about the Jew. But the seed of Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, and thy seed shall outnumber the stars of heaven, number of sands in the seashore, right? His seed is going to be immense, incountable, not able to count it. Okay? You will not be able to count the seed of Abraham. Okay? It's a promise made unto him. And of course, it starts with the first son that Abraham literally would have, which ends up being Isaac, right? The promise that Isaac, through the seed of Isaac, boy, I'm having trouble today getting some of these things out. But the reason that was such a miracle was the age of Abraham. Right? He was almost 100 years old when Isaac is born. Okay. And not to mention Sarah being 90 at the time. I bet even Kim back here, 4.5 months ago, trying to think of that at 90? Whoa! Does that put things in perspective, Kim?
Yes.
I'll leave that one alone. Okay. Yes.
So, I have a quick question.
Okay, good. Bail me out. Or are you going to put me in? Go ahead.
In Genesis, it talks about the serpent after he did that to Eve.
Right.
That the Bible says something about that he will, stay to the ground, meaning like a snake.
Well, the snake, of course, literally, to the serpent, it says. So he's talking to the serpent.
Okay.
So the serpent, and as we know, snakes to this day crawl on their belly.
So it's not, was he not talking to Satan at that time?
Satan was in that serpent, yes, but it says he was talking to the serpent. So I'm going to go with the serpent.
So it wasn't like, he wasn't talking to Satan. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Satan took over the serpent. And earlier in Genesis, you would get that.
Yeah, and 3:14 says, And the Lord God said unto the serpent.
So I'm wondering, just out of mere curiosity, why would God talk to the serpent as opposed to Satan?
Satan was in that serpent.
And why would the snake be cursed as opposed to Satan?
You have to ask God Almighty why he did that, but that's what he did. So I don't have an answer other than that's what he did.
Okay.
He's the God of the universe, and he can do what he wants without my permission or your permission.
Well, I know. I was just
anybody
curious
else. And
if Satan, I know what that says about him talking to the.
Maybe another analogy of that would be like when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth and he cast the demons out of the man and they go into the pigs, right? And all the pigs run off the edge of the edge of the cliff.
Right.
And they die. Well, those pigs, because Satan was, because the evil spirits were in those pigs, it wasn't that God was necessarily cursing pigs, it was, I don't know if that works or not, if that helps.
Yeah, but, I understand.
Circumstance?
Yeah.
Sometimes circumstances abound.
So I don't know if this is the first time the serpent is mentioned, but beginning at 3, it starts by saying, now the serpent was more subtle.
Yeah.
It goes on, but I don't know if it says anything about the serpent prior to that, because they're doing the...
I don't think so.
I don't either, because they're talking about bone from women.
Okay, so the promise is made back here to Abraham. All right, in spite of your age, Abraham, in spite of the age of your wife, Sarah, you will have a child. And through that child will all nations be blessed. And the seed, and through that child will be the seed eventually that will come, okay, that will bruise the head of Satan. Again, this whole thing is a chess match. This whole, however many thousands of years, including out to here, is a chess match. God versus Satan. That's what the whole thing is about. What is the eternal purpose of God, as in Ephesians and 1 John? It is to destroy the works of the devil by bruising his head, if you will. If you will. Having fun with our cliches today. Okay, so back to our passage in Romans 5. Actually, keep Genesis while you're there, because we're going to come right back to it. I'm going to read Romans 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him that was to come. Okay. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. While we're back there in Genesis, come to chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Okay, Adam was created in the image of who? God. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Whoa. Male and female created he them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. In marriage, a husband and wife are one. Okay? Called their name Adam. Wow.
Male was her last name.
I'm sorry?
That was her maiden name.
Okay.
Sorry.
Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 8, end of it, and he died. Verse 11, after the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Okay? If we were to keep going here, like verse 14, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Each one of these, and he died, and he died, and he died. Romans 5, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Okay, we're tracing this through. And he died, and he died, and he died. Now, let's come out here to Matthew chapter 1. And you can let Genesis go now. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Okay, and on, the whole lineage is going to go. Verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Wow. There's a whole lot there you can preach about too. But, you know, the point is here, back here it was, and he died, and he died, and he died. Now we get out here to Matthew, and And we're getting into life. Okay? Into life. So back to Romans 5. Because, as at the end of verse Romans 5:14, let's do all the 14 again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and he died, and that guy, and he died, and next one, and he died. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come? The figure, so who are we talking about there? The Lord Jesus Christ. Of him who was to come. Right? And when we get out of here now, it's going to be life, life, life. Never, verse 15. But not as the offense that Adam committed, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more, here's another one of those much mores, and remember we studied that a good bit a couple studies ago, verse 9, verse 10, verse 15, verse 17, we keep getting these much more phrases. Right, here's this, but this is even greater, or this is even more than that. So verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For, and by the way, free gift, Titus 2:11, great verse to memorize, right? And you don't have to turn there. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God. The word grace in there is the same as free gift here in verse 15 of Romans chapter 5. The free gift, the grace of God. Wow. And of course, we've talked about the difference between grace and mercy. Mercy, withholding what we deserve. Grace, giving us what we did not earn, what we do not deserve. Gift of God. Grace. Okay. So verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift, the grace of God. For if through the offense of one many be dead, the sin of Adam, much more the grace of God, even more than the offense that caused all to be dead, even more than that, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, Adam, right? So is the gift. For the judgment was by one, the condemnation. Because of sin, all died back here. They died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Death reigned from Adam to Moses because of sin. And so it continued also. So 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. All right, that whole passage, 13 to 17, all in parentheses. I want you to see the action verb in verse 17. So, we already had the beginning part of that. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Okay, because of Adam's sin, death reigned by because of Adam. Now, the next part. Much more, they which, what's the action?
Receive.
Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. They that receive. You know, the only action that's involved in our salvation is receiving that gift of eternal life. And now we've got to believe it, we've got to trust it, but we have to receive it. Okay, because it's there for all. But only those that receive it get to receive the benefits of eternal life. And if you receive it, you receive it not. Remember, I even have it with me again, so I'm going to try to always have that little free gift, that little gift box. You know, we're still close enough after the holidays season and, you know, Christmas holidays, and we put a Christmas tree up and we have all the little gifts underneath there, and they have the, you know, who it's from and who it's to. And as an analogy here, every person in the world has a gift on, has a gift at the foot of the cross, better than, you know, from under that tree. From God the Father to everyone in this room, there's every one of us has that gift sitting there. Every person in the world, because Christ died for the sins of the world. Thank you. Of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, and it's literally referring to this event right here. God was in Christ while he's on that cross right there, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Okay? The sins of the world are not imputed unto them, because when Christ died on that cross, he died for how many trespasses?
All.
All. Everybody's sins are paid for. Nobody goes to hell for the sins they commit. The people that go to hell go there because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Those that spend eternity in heaven, part of the body of Christ with the Lord forever, are those that receive, that go up and receive their gift at the foot of the cross. Because everybody's gift is sitting there. Those that receive it have eternal life. Open it up. Yep, there's my eternal life. I receive the gift of salvation. But if they never go and their box just sits there, they never get to receive the benefits that are in that box. Because of that, they spend eternity in hell. I'm just trying to make a simple analogy there. But there is that moment of, wow, I didn't go up there yet to get mine. Yeah, my sins are paid for, and they always have been. When's the moment that I realize I haven't yet gone up and received my gift? Because to this point, I've received it not. So we always, you know, we use that saying, you got to get lost before you can get saved. I've got to realize I haven't gone up there to get. When did you realize you didn't go get your box? July 5th, 1983, sitting there next to Kim. I heard three preachers in a row preach that. When did you get lost? Wow. I never realized I didn't have that gift in my pocket yet. I've always believed all those things. Got saved that night. That was the night that I realized I didn't have that gift yet. It was still sitting there at the cross. I had received it not at that point. But I went up. I hate using that because it infers. I received it that night. Okay, and so it is with everybody that is saved. There's a moment where they realize they have not yet received that gift of eternal life. And based on that, right then and there, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Question.
Yes. Can you get saved under the wrong gospel?
If it's wrong enough, no.
So let me say this. There are many people, you do not have to understand that the gospel of Christ is a different dispensation. You do not have to come unto the knowledge of the truth to be saved. Could you be thinking all this doctrine is to you and get saved? Yes. As long, you know, it's what are you trusting in for your salvation? As long as you were trusting, even though you were thinking these Matthew 5, 6, and 7 were to you and you needed to get good enough, but as long as you were trusting in salvation, there's a moment where you got lost and you, Lord, I'm trusting in the fact that you died for my sins and that you were buried and took my sins to hell and were raised for my justification. Either that was good enough for my salvation or I'll just die and go to hell anyway. If that's what you were trusting in to get saved, him dying for your sins, yes, you were saved.
Because so not just knowing.
You didn't have to know. You didn't have to know it was called the gospel of Christ.
No, I meant not just knowing. Well, Catholics know that Christ died.
Exactly.
On the cross.
Great point. So, it's what are you trusting in for your salvation? Catholics know that Christ died for sins. They know he was buried. They know he was raised again. The
so
third day.
That.
Matter of fact, Satan knows that. But are they trusting in that? No, the doctrine, let me emphasize, the for the camera especially, those that might be watching, the doctrine of the Catholic Church does not say believe that and trust in that and that alone for your salvation. It says believe that. No, by the way, come every week, confess your sins to the priest, and that's how you get forgiveness of sins. And Mary's your mediator for your prayers and, you know, and this and that work.
Right.
Okay? Try to be good enough, but realize you'll sin. Come here every week and confess your sins so that they can be forgiven. And as long as you don't have any mortal sins in your life, you know, you're promised that, Catholic doctrine now, that you'll have a priest by your side at the moment of death to give you that last absolution of sins, and there won't be any sins on your soul, so you can go to purgatory and, you know, you won't go to hell, right? Was that close?
Being an ex-Catholic, if I don't think I would have gotten saved if I felt compelled to still go back to the confessional, tell my sins to the priest, and get absolution as that. Then I hadn't trust that my sins were taken care of at the cross and they were all forgiven. I never had an inkling to ever go tell my business to him, you know, after that. That never entered my mind to have to go back to confession because I knew my sins were already paid for.
Once you got saved, right,
yes.
What you're saying, right. But yes. Until that time, if you're trusting in that man on the other side of the wall being able to forgive your sins, well, you're trusting in something different than the gospel of Christ. Well, let's take it to some denominations today. We have some Protestant denominations that say, yeah, it's that gospel of Christ, and they add something to it. And this is what Paul's talking about in Galatians. Now, in Galatians, it was circumcision they were adding to it. Today, there are some denominations, thank you, that will add like water baptism to it. You have to be baptized. Some say, no, it's just you should do it. Okay. But some say, no, you have to be. So if they're trusting in that, if they're making it part of salvation, then no, they're trusting in something other than the gospel of Christ to be saved. And there has to be a point at some point in the future after that where they realize they were not yet saved to get lost, to then get saved by the gospel of Christ.
Okay. So, if somebody hears the Catholic version of how Christ died on the cross for our sins when they were younger, the part where I've heard that if a person doesn't hear the gospel, then that person might go somewhere else. So, let's say somebody goes to church all throughout their youth, and then go out, off, get married, and don't go back to Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. But they heard that. Does that mean that they heard the gospel, and that when they do die, they heard the gospel and didn't accept it?
They're trusting in
so them. I don't know for sure what they heard or didn't hear. But if they
like
heard the gospel of Christ,
okay,
and they did, and they received it not, they're still lost.
Well, so they didn't hear it in the Catholic Church, according to Dr. No.
I'd say if they heard it in the Catholic Church like that, when they were a kid, moved on, went and got married, never went back to church, but heard that, does that mean that God's will is for all men to be saved? Does that mean could that have been where that was that person's opportunity to say, hey, Christ died on the cross for my sins and I accept that? That's what
so
I'm
it
asking.
Certainly could have been
okay.
if those words were preached, yes.
Okay.
I think the peace with the denominational differences is the trust in that. Because
in what
you
are
hear
you trusting?
It and you cannot accept it, or you can hear it and accept it but not trust in it. Like with Catholics, I mean, they can hear it and believe it, but there's conditions to that.
Yeah.
Excellent point. Excellent
conditions
point.
Is a good word to use, yeah. Because I sat for years in a Catholic church and heard, I knew Christ had died for the sins of the world, but not my sins. Plus, there was more to it. And there's deception that enters into and puts conditions on things.
So you can hear it and accept it, but not trust it.
Yeah.
So
but then also the denomination has you do other things too.
Yep.
Yeah. And what are you, you know, if you died tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And what are you trusting for your salvation?
And some Catholics would say they're trusting Mother Mary.
Yeah. So the answer to the second question is really more important than the first question. Where would you go? Well, I think I'd go to heaven. Why? Well, I've tried to be good enough. No. It's not I trusted in the gospel of Christ for myself. I trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that paid the penalty for my sins, that he died for my sins, paid the penalty for my sins, was raised again for my justification. That's what I'm trusting in. Or if I say, well, I got baptized when I was, whatever, 18. You know, no, that's not trusting in the gospel of Christ. That's trusting in the baptism. In what are you trusting for your salvation? Well, I went to, I believe that Christ died for my sins, and I also believe and am trusting in the fact that I went to confessional. Maybe I didn't go every week. I tried to, if I went a whole month, I made up for the ones that I missed in there. Yeah. Okay, what are you trusting in?
I think that represents tangible conditions. I think that's when people put their trust in those conditions rather than the simple gospel.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. That's the point. And that's what Galatians 2 in particular is. Paul's just all, well, the whole book of Galatians.
And it doesn't just boil down just to Catholics. I think
no,
every exactly. denomination, there's certain conditions.
No, that's where the second ones I was throwing in.
I think the bottom line statement from anybody in these denominations that has not accepted and trusted in Christ dying on the cross for their sins is, I think I've been pretty good. I've tried to
I think of it. Yes, if that's any part of it, look out. Yeah. If that's, it's just like Romans 5 back there in 1 to 11, verse. That's why I started, verse 6 and verse 8, right? Verse 6, for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah. Not for the godly people, as if there were such a thing.
I had a Catholic friend who put a lot of... And this, you know, New Year's resolution and all that, mm-hmm. his retrospective thought, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And he goes, some things I'd like to do, and one of the things is volunteer time. And this was like totally out of character for him. It's something he'd never done. It's like, you want to volunteer time, and that's one of those, I'm doing the right things, working my way to heaven kind of
working my way in, right.
Yeah.
And, but... I asked him if he's accepted Christ as his Savior and trusted on what he did on the cross. He goes, well, I believe in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just a natural roll off the tongue for most of the denominations to say it in those terms.
Yeah, and think of the terms now that are being used to deceive people, to think that they're saved, that religion's brought in. Ask Jesus into your heart. What's that got to do with believing that he died for your sins, was buried, and raised again for your justification? Accept Jesus. Accept what about Jesus? Accept the gospel of Christ about him? Okay. But it's accept Jesus. Well, like I say, Satan believes that Christ died on that cross, was buried, and raised again. He knows that. If anybody believes the historical facts of it, it's probably Satan himself, because he thought he'd won. And when he realized he lost... especially when he saw 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that it was all a mystery that Christ would die for our sins. Nobody understands that more than Satan, I assure you. Is he saved? No. He's not trusting in that for his salvation. Okay?
It's the simplicity of it, I guess.
It's too easy. And that's the words that Paul uses, the simplicity of the gospel. Amen, brother.
You're saying that's the reason why people don't do it. It's
got to be, I got to do this, and I got to do that.
It's
more than that. Have to be about that. It's got to be, you know, that's what it is, I guess.
There's got to be more.
Yeah. And then they're going to say, oh, you grace people, you think anybody can get saved, and then you have a license to sin. Well, I don't need anybody's permission to sin, right? And as we're going to see in the very next chapter, chapter 6 of Romans, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Nobody condemns sin in the Bible more than Paul. Nobody makes it easier than Paul. The doctrine is never easier than the doctrine presented by Paul. Let me say it that way. Yeah, it is easy. It's easy, but it's not. Because it's so easy, everybody thinks it can't be that easy. I mean, that was well said. The simplicity of the gospel, as in 1 Corinthians.
All the work was done by Christ.
Correct.
Actually, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in the simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world more abundantly to you were. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay, so all of these verses just going together, the simplicity of the gospel. If it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. All right, in whom that, and who blinded them? The God of this world. Never miss that. Okay? Our little gift, wherever I put it, it's in the back of my pocket, but it's sitting there at the cross. Every person in the world has a gift box sitting at the foot of the cross. As soon as they realize they have not yet received it, they can receive that gift of eternal life. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I kind of misquoted some of this, but for with the heart man believeth, so I don't quote it bad, I'm going to go back there and read it.
Dig it up.
Okay, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, Romans is such a great book. I mean, it's got everything in it. I did want to go back to Romans 3, so I might... Just a couple verses out of there in Romans chapter 3, going back to Catholics and the whole thing about adding works to salvation. 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, that first but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't turn there, but Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come down to verse 28, therefore, of chapter 3, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You throw Ephesians 2:8-9 in there. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? It is just receiving that gift of eternal life. And Romans chapter 5, as we've been reading here, verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Let's just read 18 to 21 to close it out. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For and all men here is, it's available to anybody, not just Jews. All men without distinction, as opposed to all men without exception. Okay? Just like Titus 2:11, for the grace of God hath appeared to all men without distinction, all kinds of men, okay, Jew, Greek, Syrian, barbarian, anybody and everybody, it's available to. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.